Hello, everyone, and welcome to Did I Say Podcast? How did you put it last episode, Jordan?
A podcast about the way games change and the way they change us. Like
a podcast about the way games change.
Why are you looking at me?
And the way games change us. That's, I like the way he put it last episode.
So thanks.
Yeah, I like it too.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Nice.
It's a podcast where we talk about video games, past, future, present.
Perfect.
And this episode is a bit of a bonus where we're going to discuss actually a segment that we might be doing in the future called Homie Work.
Homie Work.
It's and work for the homies.
Yeah, so it's basically like these dudes are forcing me to play a game. And I'm going to play it. And I'm going to play it. And this game happened to be on sale. So I was like, let me just grab it. Because these guys keep talking about how great it is. And by the way, my name is Ryan. And I have to me on my right is Jared.
I'm Jared.
Welcome, Jared. And then in front of me is Talen. And they're both great dudes.
Hey, thanks, man.
But they did make me play Midnight Suns.
Yes, Marvel's Midnight Suns, Credit should be due where it's due, which is that you have played two games at this point for us that we've asked you to.
Indeed.
We didn't even have to pressure you. You just snatched them up and started playing them.
Yeah.
And we haven't done any homework yet for you. So we will get back around to that.
I even have a Disco Elysium in the chamber. But
yes, I'm very excited about that. Yeah. So shout out to you for putting in the work. Yeah. In the
I will say one thing, Ryan, to your credit, is that you'll at least try a game once.
And he gives it an honest try, which I don't think you can say for everybody. Ryan will sit down and he will genuinely try to play.
It's because I got nothing better to do.
And then I will I will nervously sweat waiting for his opinion of the game because it's obviously a direct reflection of his opinion of me.
So Midnight Suns is a game that I have meant to play, and I was pretty excited for it to come out. But I wasn't super happy it was Marvel themed, but I was very excited for a new Firaxis game. That's how I say it.
Makers of XCOM.
XCOM. And which is, we've discussed in detail. Are you looking at something?
No, I'm just making sure they're recording.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Don't worry. We've got your back.
Okay.
Right. That's right.
Which XCOM is a game we've talked about in the past. I specifically talked about it, brought it up for my comfort games. It's a game that I just like to go back and play at any time. So you would think Marvel Midnight Suns would fall somewhere in there.
Okay.
For me,
but just fell through the ground.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have put, and checked on Steam before we did this, over 100 hours.
Wow.
Into Midnight Suns.
Wow. I think you have more time in it than I do now.
Yeah. I haven't unlocked the Hulk.
What?
Yeah.
I'm confused. I haven't unlocked the Hulk either. The last cutscene I saw was definitely heavily suggesting that I was almost at the end of the game.
I have beat the game, and I've only put 60 hours.
I was almost to the point where I thought Hulk was like a New Game Plus character.
I just assumed you didn't get the Hulk because the
story, I know you got the Hulk because I saw him.
Not to get too
him.
Far ahead of us, but he is a narrative focus in the game.
Yeah. I just did the mission where you fight him for the first time in like a crater made by an explosion.
Correct, yeah.
And it's a pretty cool fight.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I think I'm on the verge of getting him because that's usually the theme is you'll fight this fallen villain and you'll get them.
What does fallen mean in this context?
Fallen is basically like a zombie version, but they're...
Oh, I just mean give them a little rundown of what this game is.
So the storyline of the game is pretty basic.
Generally speaking.
It's very interesting. It has very in-depth characters, very well-written characters, a lot of dialogue, probably more dialogue than Hades, surprisingly.
I don't know about that, but it
I would be
no
interested
slouch.
To see which one has more.
Yeah.
And I think Marvel Midnight Suns would top it.
I will say I know for a fact that Hades has over a million lines of spoken dialogue. Yeah. So that's a lot of dialogue.
There might be more.
Maybe. I mean, there's a
in
lot
Midnight
of...
Midnight Suns.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So like Midnight Suns is a game about building relationships with each other.
Yeah.
This basically very comic book stuff happens. Demon lady gets awoken.
Yeah.
She's trying to fulfill a prophecy. You are her daughter or son. I guess, whichever you choose. And you died stopping her last time.
Yeah.
But you are resurrected by mutants and or superheroes who need your help to stop the prophecy from coming true again, mm-hmm. being fulfilled.
You play as a character called the Hunter. You can be male or female.
You do not remember what happened when you died.
Last time. You have a big gap in your memory.
Right.
But you used to be essentially a superhero back in medieval times.
Yes.
And you're resurrected.
Thousands of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You're resurrected into this place where you were buried. You just rise out of your tomb.
Right.
At this place called the Abbey, which is where you used to chill.
Mm-hmm. It is like a pocket dimension, basically. It was separated from the rest of reality.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a safe haven for these mutants.
Yeah.
They come
The Midnight Suns have taken over, and that's the Blade.
The Vampire Hunter.
Magic.
These are... They're all younger mutants, I guess.
Nico.
Yes.
Nico, yes.
And who's the last?
Magic.
Magic.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry.
Then it is
Ghost.
Eddie, is that his name?
No, Ghost Rider.
Ghostbuster.
It is Ghost Rider. I'm trying to think of
It's not Johnny Blaze. It's
something.
It's not
Reyes.
Johnny Blaze. He's the old Ghost Rider, but there's a new one who's like
is
a young
Robbie
guy.
Or
Robbie Reyes?
Robbie That's Reyes. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Those are like
they live there, and there's like an older woman. I don't remember her name, but
caretaker.
She they call her the caretaker.
The caretaker.
Mm-hmm. So she is like mentoring these people,
and then there's
who have
Agatha.
The whole point is that they had powers that were too strong to be controlled. So she found a place outside of the other realities to like mentor them and train them. And then, yes, there's like a ghost lady that the other people don't know is there, but you can see her. And you grew up with her.
Mm-hmm.
She was alive the last time you were alive. And now she's like kind of just checking in on people, making sure everything goes okay behind the scenes, helping people out. And then the whole thing is like this prophecy, she is like summoning demons into our world, like Earth world. And regular superheroes like Iron Man are getting pulled into this conflict. And so they find this pocket dimension where the Midnight Suns are, and they're using it as a base of operations because all of their safe havens are getting destroyed by these.
Yeah, Doctor Strange's place gets destroyed.
His
the Stark Towers
destroyed.
Gets destroyed.
So it's interesting because it kind of inverts the. I mean, this has happened many times, of course, but there are
just a hand like floating.
Just never get to see Jared. Never block Jared.
Well,
space.
I was trying to improve. Okay,
no, you're good. just
trying to save the audience.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah. So they're all trying to escape. It's kind of an underdog story in that sense. And then you are the connective tissue between these two groups of people because they don't know each other. They don't really trust each other. And you're going on missions with them. It's like turn-based combat that is card-based. So you're selecting your actions from a deck of cards. Each card is a character and a specific ability for that character. You decide, I think you have 40 cards in a deck, or is it less?
Less,
20,
you have,
maybe?
So you get three characters per mission, and your deck is a combination of those three characters' decks combined.
Yeah.
So every time you draw a card, you have a chance of drawing a card from each of your three characters that are in play on the mission.
Right.
And the missions are pretty short, like 10 minutes.
I like them. They're very bite-sized.
And that's my complaint.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I like the XCOM missions. Where you're actually doing some exploration, in the mission, and you have vantage points, you have points
you're
in
like
the map,
staking stuff out, making a battle plan.
I want to see a game like that uses Marvel characters, like where you can use the Hulk to bust through environments, you can use Storm to like push people out.
With Marvel characters would be a very different game, but it would be very interesting.
This game is for the Persona fans and for Marvel fans. That's like the dream game for Persona fans and Marvel fans, I feel like. And for me, I'm a Marvel fan to a point. I'm not like super diehard Marvel fan. But I like a lot of the stuff. I like a lot of the specific characters, like Spider-Man, Venom, Deadpool. I like Blade. But
everybody has their own unique approach.
Yeah.
So when you're combining these characters, you get very different feel
it's
combat.
Almost like there's too many characters in Midnight Suns that you're trying to build relationships with that take up too much of my time. I would do a mission, 10 minutes, I'm done. That was my favorite part of the game, which also I think could use some improvements from my point of view.
Yeah.
I understand.
Well, this is all about your experience with the game. So
right.
Just
I think the game is great. I think it's a great game, but it's not going to be a comfort game for me where I'm going to be like, once I beat this, I'm done with it. I'm not going to come back and play this game.
And I think the narrative kind of it is structured more as like a one and done type of game.
I can't imagine like all the relationships and dialogue I've been through and then just like wanting to jump back into that.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of skipping for me if I do that. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I agree that like a lot of the characters, all the characters are well written for who they are, but that doesn't mean that I'm, as an individual, interested in hearing all of their stories. Mm-hmm. So you kind of pick your favorites. Mm-hmm. And then the other ones, there were times where I was forced to interact with characters that I didn't have any interest in. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
and you got an interest.
Oh, you've got a really interesting backstory, actually.
That's my experience, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And the game forces you to do that to an extent. Of course, you could just skip the dialogue. You have the option to just rush through the dialogue, bust through it. Yeah.
How fast can I skip?
But man, like having to, the Abbey is not just a little building.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it keeps extending and extending.
It has grounds.
You unlock what they call words of power by doing these mysteries.
Right.
And you have to talk to Agatha to get some hints on that stuff. So if you don't talk to Agatha, you're going to be lost a little bit on that. You're going to keep thinking that stuff's just going to come on its own. Nope. You've got to do that.
You were maybe a quarter as far into the game as I was. And you were telling me stuff that I had no idea about.
Yeah.
And because I just didn't really explore
you
that
stuff.
You can
do stuff. And there's even a bug where I didn't get the outfit I was supposed to for completing all the mysteries because I opened a chest too early in the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bro, you're supposed to be quite annoyed.
It's the outfit you get. And I looked up online and other people had experienced the bug as well. It's a pretty common bug, but there's a mod that fixes it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Which should have been a patch.
Yeah, I don't think that game got the support that it deserved because it also did not do particularly well. We were talking in our last episode about Dragon Quarter and how that game failed because of expectations. I think this game is definitely a victim of expectations.
Sure. Okay, so exploring the Abbey? Do you like exploring the grounds?
No.
You don't like that part?
No.
You don't like the Abbey part at all?
It feels like the Mortal Kombat game where you could run around.
It felt
like that.
Shaolin Monks?
No.
There's two games where you run around.
You're talking about the one where you can explore the...
Bo Raicho is your teacher at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And you can like turn into other characters and stuff.
That is Deception.
Yeah, Deception.
Great game.
But it felt like that, and it felt like a PS2 game when I was running around the Abbey, just like prettier.
Because the Abbey he's got some pretty horrible running animation.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, they're truly atrocious.
I'm like, why is he run like that, bro?
Yeah. He's got a nice butt, though.
He's got a gun. Okay.
It's all a matter of taste, but mine does not.
Okay, so you're not a big fan of the Abbey.
Reason I'm not a big fan of the Abbey is because they expect you to explore it a ton. And it's hard to figure out. It's a little bit of confusing.
It is confusing.
You have to keep opening the map, and you don't have a compass to tell you which way is which.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that because the map itself is relatively small. It's not small, but it's relatively small.
It's relatively small.
My bigger issue is that I assumed, because of the way the narrative pushes itself forward, I assumed that that aspect of the game would also push itself forward.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if you hadn't told me to go do some of the things I did outside of the Abbey, I would have just completely missed it because I was just waiting. I was actually thinking, it's weird how slowly they're revealing these powers and stuff. And it was because I just wasn't doing the right thing. And one of the things you told me was not intuitive at all. Yeah. I never would have thought to do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And then it opened up a whole new thing. Like,
yeah. If you see a closed door, in the game, use the open command.
Open.
Oh, yeah. The door gives no indication that it can be opened.
Well, the bigger problem is that all the doors up to that point that you use the open ability on have the symbol carved in them.
This
one does not.
And they should.
So what indication do you have that it would work?
Yeah. Either go one way or go the other.
You don't have any indication that there's a reason to open that door because it seems decorative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have any indication that you can open that door. So I never would have done that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
And you'll
is
get
very
the last word you get is break, where you can break. You'll see like a crack or something, break it. Mm-hmm. But then there's also like just random rubble.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I knew to use the word of power there is because it was a ingredient underneath a rock I couldn't quite reach.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, is it just a bugged ingredient? I can't reach it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh.
Which would have been a totally safe assumption in a Firaxis game.
Yeah. Actually, there is an ingredient. the one singular ingredient that is on the side of a trail that you just can't pick up.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
I would check every single time I walked by that trail. Like, nope, still can't pick it up. Okay. But yeah, so use the break on the rubble too, and then you're opening up new sections of the map. I don't know if you've actually seen the whole map, because you're saying the map's relatively small. I'm sure
that I have not.
It keeps freaking expanding. Have you been to the garden, Lilith's garden, your mom's?
I only have the first power, so okay. I haven't. Any.
There's much more to the
You're missing out, bro.
Well, and you can see it when you open the map. It's grayed out where you haven't been, and I know that I can't get there because there is a door that
you'll even open the map and your character will be off the map.
Sometimes, it'll be like,
and that's so that map never opens up. It's just you're always just going
to
be off the
map. There is a very real failure to convey information effectively in that game.
Yeah.
Especially just for stuff that it's kind of.
I never had an issue.
Taylor never had an issue.
Not all of us are.
You just constantly just.
Not all of us. Oh,
you're
just spam the open ability. And
I think Taylor's more used to like
obscure, ridiculous.
Yeah, he's a Capcom player through and through.
That must be what it is.
I think that's what it is.
It probably is.
Approach every game like a Capcom.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
but so, okay,
tell
so
you nothing.
Put the cans in the laundry chute, and you'll solve the puzzle.
That's right.
Yeah.
So for me, the reason that I recommended this game to you, the loop for me that I found so addictive is, I go on my mission, right? I get my rewards. Mm-hmm. I go talk to the people that I find interesting. The stories are very interesting. The relationships are very interesting. So I am motivated to do that.
The characters feel real, the way they're written. They have these flaws. I think they do,
especially for characters who exist because people have been writing them into stories for, 60 years or something? Mm-hmm. Like, especially considering how much backstory they all have. They do a great job of making them very approachable, very relatable.
Yeah, when you meet a new character, you get a lot of options to talk to that character in depth. And if you're not familiar with that character, they give you the option right then and there to get familiar with that character. You get the backstory, their opinions.
And it's not necessarily, like, there's a lot of dialogue, but it's not structured in a way that feels like it's just exposition vomit at you. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're just telling you about themselves.
Correct.
In a way that a real person would do.
Which I think is what the Persona series does so well. And that's why I think it's a good game for those fans.
Yeah, 100%. So then I talk to those people, and then you go to bed, you wake up the next morning, you might explore the grounds. That wasn't really part of the loop for me, but it sounds like it's kind of important to do. And then I would like, I mean, it can't be that important.
You literally cannot further the story until you explore the ground.
That's not what they told me in the cutscenes. I was just doing the best I could.
Yeah.
And then you get new cards. Mm-hmm. You can break them down for components that let you upgrade existing cards. You can modify your cards. Mm-hmm. So basically enhancing your deck as just a whole concept and all the other mechanics that fit into that are a big part of that loop for me. So it's like, I refine my deck, I test it out in a mission, I come back and talk to my friends and further those relationships, and then that cycle just goes. Mm-hmm. So for you, what is the loop like for you, or does that loop break down where there doesn't really feel like a satisfying loop at all?
My OCD is going to be one of the downfalls, for my opinion, of this game, because the Abbey, every time I finish a mission, even when it comes nighttime, it's like, okay, I need to explore the grounds to get the ingredients. Oh my God.
Okay.
I got to explore everywhere and get those ingredients on my guy.
I see.
Every time. Mm-hmm. And I opened up that whole other section now. And there's even new ingredients. Mm-hmm. And I unlocked the pot to build the things, which are extremely useful because they give you heroic essence and skill essence and attack essence and all that.
And you got to use that.
And I'm constantly running out of that stuff.
Yeah.
Except for skill essence.
That's a big thing for me. It's like essence. I would, whenever they let you, so whenever you get new cards, you pick. Mm-hmm. So you usually pick like 2 out of 4 or whatever. And I would always pick the rarest ones that I already had so that I could break them down for essence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like very rarely was I like, I
felt like there were a lot of cards that just weren't interesting. Like I built a lot of decks. Like it was a lot of characters I just didn't like. Doctor Strange, I didn't use very much.
He just
didn't
seem very interesting. I used him in the beginning because he's the first character you get with.
Yeah,
and then I never used him again.
Yeah, he is a good character for drawing the cards that you want or the cards that you use because he can redraw cards you just used or help you draw new cards.
Mm-hmm. No game feels as much like a board game as this game does to me because it's very much like, okay, I need an engine to help me draw cards. Now I need someone to help me efficiently use these cards, and then I want a person to amplify the effects of these
cards. To me, the system works better as a PvP game than a PvE game. I would be interested in seeing two superhero teams go against each other with these decks they've built. Because in a deck builder, that's what I think of immediately, is a you going head-to-head with another deck builder.
But
an important detail of this for people who haven't played it is you're using these cards, but the effects are happening. They're playing out in a 3D environment where you're moving these characters around. There's other objects in the environment that can be used against you or for you or whatever. So it's not like you play a card and then that makes them do a thing. It's like, depending on the proximity of the enemies around you, you may hit multiple enemies. So you want to kind of, you structure your attack before you even select what cards you want to use.
Characters like Captain America and Spider-Man are good at like hitting multiple targets.
Right.
Spider-Man's exceptionally good at moving targets around the map to position them where you need.
Exactly. And then
characters like Ghost Rider are good for, like, after you set that up to blow through and get huge AoE, or Captain America get the AoE. But there's cards that just like seem like a useless card, like this when you unlock the Scarlet Witch.
I think they introduce her too late for the type of play.
I don't even know how late it is, and I don't know how much more there is, so I can't say whether it's too late.
Do you have all the characters except for Hulk so far?
I don't know all the characters.
You have the Scarlet Witch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. I think Hulk is the very last character you get.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got the DLC, too, so I've got Deadpool. I'm not sure what all characters are exclusive to DLC, but I think Venom.
Deadpool and Venom, I think, are DLC.
Storm and Morbius are the last.
Morbius
is pretty cool. Yeah. Storm is pretty powerful.
She's like an Omega level mutant, which is the highest level, right?
She's pretty OP, and you know,
that makes sense.
Canon. Yeah,
she is,
and
for sure.
She has cards that another problem with the combat though is there's Storm rewards you for holding on to some of her cards and using them later.
Correct.
But then the game's like, if you don't finish this match in two turns, you're gonna one star, my friend.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what do you want me to do?
They're not all timed, are they?
Yeah. Well, they're all timed in the sense like you're going to get a better score for beating it in one or two turns.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But that
personal
get from that is like dust that lets you get more like t-shirts that look terrible.
Sure.
So I understand like your competitive instinct is like, I want to get the highest score. So yeah. I want to see all the stars on the screen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I didn't care about that. Yeah. After a certain point, when I saw what you could get for it, and I had already bought all the furniture for my room and made it look nice,
that's the last thing I did.
I didn't care about any of it.
Yeah.
Well, you're wrong. Where's your dog going to lay?
Now,
where's your demon dog going
to lay? The thing driving me to keep playing is to get the relationships level 5 to get the new costume for them and then the new legendary card.
Yeah, which are
legendary cards.
The legendary cards are, once I got my first one, which I think was Spider-Man, I was like, okay, I get it.
Have you done Magic's? Dark Child.
I think I'm like level 4 relationship with her, so I'm like really close.
She's amazing.
The only one I've got so far is Captain America's, which is just like,
I don't have his yet either.
It's just
like
an
3
unblockable charge all the way across the map that is like super wide, and he just destroys everything and hits everyone in the way, and it's super powerful.
Captain America feels like an upgraded character of Captain Marvel in the game, although I think Captain Marvel canon wise is much stronger than Captain America. But he just has all this tanking ability that Captain Marvel has, having better AoE attacks. She has AoE attacks, but they're lines.
I think he's more like group utility. Yeah. She's really good at buffing herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Captain America gives everyone armor, and he can taunt.
They both taunt
enemies
and
really
they both
well.
Give armor.
Yeah. Yeah. But he also can deal serious damage. Yeah. Like
she can too.
I felt like he was a better fit for the group. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like she works great on her own, but I felt like he always complimented whatever team I put him in.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what I would think Captain America would do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought they did a great job of communicating the personality of the superheroes in the cards.
Oh, I definitely agree.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
But so
did you like the deck building stuff of it, or would you prefer just like XCOM style?
It was fun. I would prefer XCOM style for sure.
I mean, now that I'm playing XCOM 2 on the Switch right now, I'm going back through it, playing it again. Yeah.
How's it running on the Switch for you?
It runs okay.
I have it on the Switch.
It runs okay.
As well.
It runs.
It runs 5
sometimes,
out of 10.
Sometimes an enemy will move and then you can't see them anymore because it just won't like load them in.
Like a lot of those.
So you don't know where they're at.
Great.
Yeah.
But saying that, I would definitely love if they had XCOM style maps.
Yeah.
Like if Spider-Man just went to get to a vantage point on top mm-hmm. of a building, and like you said, yes. and you could just like mow down. Yes.
You're after, thinking exactly what back, I'm thinking. You're thinking
after exactly going what back.
I think yeah. you would have to fundamentally alter some aspects of how the combat works because the movement and everything is designed for a small space.
I agree.
It would be great if you ditched Marvel Midnight Suns combat entirely, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which I think is fine, but for me personally, I like XCOM's combat, and I want an XCOM game with the Marvel characters.
Gotcha.
Where you take the Marvel characters and you split them into classes that already exist in XCOM. Like you have your Ranger, and you can have characters like Wolverine and Deadpool, those type of like Blade in that category as Ranger, and you can level those characters up in different ways, just like you can with the Ranger. And you can have like characters like the Hulk. You could either make them super good at destroying environments or super good at throwing enemies or things like that. Mm-hmm. The way you can alter your characters in XCOM and build them up in different ways, like the Ranger class isn't just a Ranger class. You can you go through the experimentation, the lab, to learn new ways to change the Ranger class. And you level up and you learn new skills. You have different paths you go with those skills. So that adds replayability to the game. And I think that would, the Marvel Midnight Suns would be much better if you could do that. But,
so let me ask you this just for my own clarification. So you've put 100 hours into the game, mm-hmm, and yeah. you did say that you liked it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, I'm unclear on which parts that you really enjoyed versus the ones that you could kind of take or leave.
Surprisingly, the part that keeps me playing is building the relationships with the characters.
Okay, cool.
And unlocking the upgrades through those, and then the combat is compelling. I like the combat. Okay. I don't dislike the combat.
Okay.
So do you? For me, it's combat versus XCOM is a little bit too different to compare. I would mm-hmm. I like both.
We're only comparing them because they're Firaxis games.
Exactly. But
and maybe
but
we
you're
should.
Saying you would just ditch the card mechanics altogether.
Like if I'm building a game,
okay,
this is what I would do.
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't make a game like Marvel Midnight Suns. I would make a game closer to XCOM.
Okay.
If I'm talking a strategy game.
Yeah.
Well, when we started this, like when we were talking about doing this game for HomieWork, the premise was, I would like to hear how you feel about this
because of you how like, much you that's, like XCOM. That's why we're comparing the two.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it would also stand a huge improvement is if the hub world was like XCOM. I could build rooms onto the Abbey. Mm. I could build a garden where I can plant the ingredients I want mm-hmm. to mm. make the things that I want for my strategy.
Yeah.
Do I need heroic essence? I'm going to plant the ingredients for that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
I think that would be great. It would remove the
monotony
PS2-like open worldness of the Abbey.
Frantically jumping over
that feels dated. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. like it's not fun for me to unlock a word of power that opens up a wall. Now I can go to that area.
Guess what
thing.
You get? Busy work.
Yes.
Go pick some flowers.
Yeah.
Right.
To me, it feels like lazy
it just feels,
world design.
It feels very unthoughtful. It feels like they did not give a lot of consideration to mm-hmm. what this would feel like after your 10th hour of doing it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then once you're yeah. developed it that far,
and
locked in.
And that's why I was excited. Fans of the Divinity series that were playing Divinity Original Sin 2 and were done with it, and then they announced they're working on a new Divinity game, and as they're explaining the mechanics, you realize this is a lot like XCOM. Mm-hmm. You have your boat, the Lady Vengeance, which acts as your hub, just like XCOM, where you can research things for your heroes so that they operate better or different in combat. I think that was going to be great, but as far as I've heard, it's been scrapped.
Well, I can see a lot of the ideas that you have being very helpful, at least for mm-hmm. quality of life improvements, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I really just wanted to hear what you liked and kind of what your journey was mm-hmm. with that game, because I know a lot of it is, in a way, stuff that you feel conflicting emotions about. Like Marvel is something that on one level we all like, but on another level we all are kind of either fatigued by it or mm-hmm. just outright done dealing mm-hmm. with that side of Marvel or that approach to the Marvel license.
Right.
So I thought it would be really interesting to hear how this played based on where you were already at with, mm-hmm. you know, with those types of games, with that developer, with that franchise, all that stuff coming together in the way that it did. Mm-hmm. I think there is a lot of cool elements to it. I think it's definitely a unique game. There's not any other game like it that I know of. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate it for that. And I appreciate it for being just very clearly respecting the source material in the mm-hmm. sense that like Marvel characters have existed, but
yeah, it's definitely got talented people on yeah. the team yeah. doing things.
And I think that game actually, I did not put that on my comeback list, but I think now having listened to your feedback about it, I would love to see a lot of that stuff implemented in a future game mm-hmm. where like, yeah, just let me organize structures in the Abbey in a way that I can just plop a garden down somewhere and
yeah. put ingredients. That's a great idea.
I can build the forge. I can upgrade the forge. Right. I can add a room next to the forge that upgrades the forge, just like XCOM. If you like,
oh, like a synergy mm-hmm. bonus.
Yeah,
two rooms. Help, yeah, like,
and it's quicker. You can get back to the combat quicker. Mm-hmm.
Definitely quicker.
You can still like instead of looking around the Abbey for that character you're trying to find. They're all right there in your hub world. You can see where they are mm-hmm. interacting in their environments. They can still interact in their environments. You can still see them painting on a cliffside, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You can still do all that.
Like a diorama format, like thinking about it from an yeah. XCOM vantage point where yeah. you're kind of panning over this scene instead of being a boots on the ground person.
Yeah.
I would love to see
I would love like that. To see that.
I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll make it a mobile game where you have to pay $10 for everything.
Do either of you know anything about Marvel Snap?
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you played it?
I've played a significant amount of Snap.
Is it anything like Marvel Midnight Suns?
Nope.
Because some of the animations I saw in a trailer were the exact animations for Midnight Suns.
Interesting.
Where Venom yeah. grabs somebody and does that. That's uh-huh. a lethal embrace card.
Oh,
it's like yeah. to a T the exact animation.
Interesting.
Wow. So I don't know if they reuse those assets yeah. or if they just
Marvel
like...
Snap is cool. Marvel Snap is a straight up card game, and mm-hmm. its whole premise is that they wanted to make a game like Magic that wouldn't last more than 5 minutes. Mm. A match is never more than 5 minutes.
Well, it's nice. The commercials need to stop.
Fair enough. Yeah. I think every mobile game's commercials need to stop.
Yeah, yeah. They're bad.
Yeah,
but interesting.
Taylan, do you have any more questions or
anything? Man, I did have something. I need you to beat the game.
That's where I'm struggling. I'm struggling to beat it.
At the very end of the game, the problem is they leave on a huge cliffhanger.
Oh, great.
Oh, on that cliff?
On the cliff, no.
There's a big cliff.
Literally on a cliff? Yeah. Is it on a cliff?
Because
the Abbey sits on a cliff.
Hearing you say that is almost enough to make me stop playing this
game. Yeah, that actually makes me not want to play it because you know there's not going to be a second
Midnight Suns.
You know they're never
going to set
tell
up
you
for a sequel.
Yeah, but they will never come.
That will never
I
exist.
Know. And that's what kind of sucks because I really enjoyed Midnight Suns.
Yeah, like, a lot of people did. Anyone who put time into it has enjoyed it.
It's just,
but it's such a long game, and long the game. Loop to me isn't mm-hmm. satisfying enough to keep playing it. But I see.
I do think it's a little long in the tooth. It does need to be. I think a lot of stuff like how you have to navigate the environment, like just give me ways to kind of warp around a little bit faster, to collect things a little bit, mm-hmm. just trim the edges a little mm-hmm. bit.
Yeah.
And a number of hours that you would spend doing things that felt like busy work would be so much less.
Mm-hmm.
I think that alone would make the whole game feel better.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
I think even if they did like the ingredient thing mm-hmm. and then you could just upgrade the...
Just make a mod. Ryan, you know how to program.
Just
right?
Just let's just have a whole segment on like mods we want and games to make them great.
Okay.
But I don't know. I feel like that's all.
Okay.
That pretty much sums up.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think would you like rate it?
Yeah.
Would you recommend it to
that's
people?
That's tough because it's
give
like.
Give me the headliner on your review.
I think for certain people, it's like a 10 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10, pretty close. Yeah. For me personally, like.
More like Marvel Setting Suns. Because the sun's going down on this one.
If we're cutting my turtle joke, we're cutting that.
I didn't cut your turtle joke.
Anyways, if I was to rate it for me personally, mm-hmm. not that I feel it deserves this rating.
Okay.
What? No, you give
sense.
It the rating you think it deserves.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Don't try to be objective.
No, yeah. How do you feel about it?
6.5 out of 10.
Wow.
100 hours in a 6.5 out of 10.
It's 100 hours because... I wanted to beat it for you guys.
Oh. Okay.
Well, you should have stopped and told us.
I am still confused on how you haven't beaten the game after 100 hours, though.
I am a little confused on that point?
Well, you know, like, you can just keep doing missions and missions.
So obviously you enjoy
and
the
comic. I've listened to a lot of the dialogue.
Did you think those missions would, you would just play them all at some point, and your completionist nature was like, man, there's a lot of these freaking
I can't move on to the next city until I do all these missions. They won't stop spawning.
Well, that's XCOM approaches it as you just do missions.
Oh, okay.
And that's how you progress the game.
Yeah.
So that's how I assumed it first. And I'm probably doing that a lot.
It does say story mission on the one.
I know it does.
Yeah. Okay.
I know it does.
Now, does it bother you? One thing that does bother me about Midnight Suns is you do a mission and then you have to go to sleep. And then you do a mission and you have to go to sleep. Instead of just being like, I want to do a mission and a mission and a mission.
That doesn't bother me because I like them kind of like narratively closing the loop to keep it going.
Yeah. And that's where
it's how long it takes them
correct
to close the loop.
Sure.
Where it's always like,
yeah.
For me, it's like, oh crap, did I pet the dog? I gotta pet the dog.
Oh, you definitely gotta pet the
dog. Did I check the library for essences?
I didn't even know you could pet the cat until like halfway through the game. I was like, well, now I gotta pet the cat.
I petted the cat for the first time, and it was like, you just got 3 compliments you can throw at people. I'm like, what is this cat doing?
Yeah, the cat's weird.
And I need to pet the cat more.
In general, that game is just, for me, it suffers from not knowing how to be efficient with the information that it's giving to the player.
Yeah.
I personally would rate it higher than a 6.5, but I do see a lot of things in there that will chip you down over time of being like, man, I'm so tired of doing this one little, or seeing this one animation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like that game needs to be a little more respectful of your time. Mm-hmm. I think.
And XCOM, I'd probably give it like a 9 out of 10. There's definitely some things that I see improvement for in XCOM too.
XCOM is a hard game to rate for me because the highs are so high, but the lows are so low.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding.
Have you played XCOM 2 with War of the Chosen DLC?
I have, but I have not played the War of the Chosen DLC.
Too stressful at points.
Yeah,
you are about to lose this mission, and then they throw a boss, there. Into a random mission you were just trying to do to just get some loot, and you thought it was going to be easy, and now you're struggling.
Nothing is easy about
you're missing
game.
All your shots, and then they drop this dude who is an expert sniper on you who
sometimes they'll
camouflages
drop stuff on you
himself.
Where I'm like, am I supposed to beat this guy, or is this telling me to run away?
Right. Yeah.
Because it feels like you want
Don't
me
run
to
away.
Run away. Yeah, it's never run away.
Don't run away.
I feel like the Firaxis team, at least the teams that worked on those games, I'm sure it's different now, but I feel like they are surprisingly inept at balancing their games.
Mm-hmm.
There are at least every 5 missions, I'm like, you could have taken another pass at this, man. Like,
agreed.
This does not feel... like,
at the same time, though, when I lose a mission in that game and I load back to a save point, it's very possible I'm about to ace this mission. And that's happened in Marvel Midnight Suns.
I get that. But speaking about XCOM in particular, the consequences for losing in that game, it's not like you want to retry. It's like, well, now that team got wiped out. They're gone now.
You can load back to a previous save.
Yeah, if you want to save scum. But the whole thing is like, the reason that game is... like everyone just accepts that you're going to save scum in that game. They do that because the developers did not do a great job of making you feel like you weren't cheated when you lose. Mm-hmm. There are so many situations where I'm like,
I get that.
I feel like nothing I could have done in this situation would have changed this outcome.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys set me up to fail. Mm-hmm. You did not give me the information I needed to make a smart choice here.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that bothers me about those games. All right, so I guess that's... So those
Ryan
are our thoughts.
Gives it an abysmal rating for a great game.
Ryan said worst game of all time. Can't wait to put another 100 hours in it.
I don't know if I'll beat it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If you do, we'll do a quick check-in on one of our full episodes.
Check-in every episode for the rest of our
Because after you get
the
Hulk...
Let us know. I'm never asking you about this game again.
After you get the Hulk, the game is almost over. Like, I mean, you get the Hulk and then it's preparing to fight Lilith. Basically,
really?
Right after that. So you're right.
So you get
the
like 2 cards for the Hulk, and you're.
I mean, you can obviously take him out on missions and let him just like wipe everybody out because he has like 1,000 health or something insane.
Huh. So. Okay.
Sick. All right. Hey, Ryan, genuinely thank you for playing Midnight Suns.
Yeah,
I really
agree.
Appreciate you taking that much time to just appease us.
And not so genuinely, you're welcome.